2 Chronicles chapter 18. Well, here we've got the account of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, joining in with the king of Israel, Ahab, who was wicked and very nearly losing his life as a result of it. Well, how are we to weigh up Jehoshaphat? I think the records are written of some of these people like Jehoshaphat so that you can, well, without judging whether he's going to be saved or not, you can weigh up the evidence that God gives for him, pro and con, for and against him, to just see how complex is human life, and to take comfort that God will judge rightly, that God does factor in everything. When you look at the record in 1 Kings 22, he is commended for having peace with the kings of Israel. It was a tragedy that Israel and Judah were divided. In fact, there's a passage in Isaiah where God says, "I will bring something worse upon you than ever happened since Israel departed from Judah." In other words, that was seen by God, that division amongst his people, as absolutely the greatest tragedy. So that Jehoshaphat wanting peace with the kings of Israel was good. And he's commended for it. And at the end, in chapter 19, verse 3, we read of 2 Chronicles that he was judged as having a heart right with God overall. And yet, his friendship with Ahab was clearly wrong in some ways, because Ahab and his wife Jezebel were sold to do wickedness against God. And the difficulty was that Jehoshaphat's son Jehoram had married Ahab's daughter Athaliah. And so he comes down to visit Ahab in Samaria. And Ahab welcomes him and says to him, "Let's go and fight together at Ramoth-Gilead against the Syrians." And, well, Jehoshaphat says, "Well, let's ask for Yahweh's advice." And Ahab says, "Nah, there's a prophet of Yahweh's here, but he only says bad things about me. Don't listen to him. Let's listen to the false prophets. Tell us what I want to hear." Well, Micaiah has this vision of the very throne room of God, where God says what he wants to happen. He wants Ahab to die at Ramoth-Gilead, and angels suggest different things, and one of them says, "I'll be a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophets." And God says, "Right, you're the one, go and do this." You have there an amazing insight into the complexity of God's dealings with people and world events and so forth. You have no idea of what is going on beyond the apparent steely silence of the skies. There is this huge discussion and angels thinking, "Should we do this? No, let's not do that, let's do that." No, and God's saying, "No, don't do that. Okay, yeah, let's do this." That suggestion is a goer. And so his prophets lie to him, and he is killed by an apparently chance arrow. But he was, talk about a bad friend. I mean, he says to Jehoshaphat, "You dress up as the king, and I won't." Well, he clearly knew that they were going to try and kill him, and he thought, "Well, if Jehoshaphat, my friend, is dressed as the king, they'll probably kill him, and I'll get away with it if things get tough." And that nearly happens. We come to chapter 19. We're told that God was furious with Jehoshaphat for doing this. The wrath of God was kindled against him. Now, although God was angry with him, yet he still saved him at the last minute, because he cried out to Yahweh and God saved him when they were about to kill him in the battle. And it's Ahab who gets killed by the apparently chance arrow under God's good hand. So what are we to make of this? Jehoshaphat was commended for having peace with the kings of Israel, but clearly he went too far, and God was angry with him for that. And yet, overall, God says that his heart was right with him. So you see again the complexity of how God judges people, how he weighs and factors in everything. And in the biblical record, we see just a few aspects of that balancing of these different aspects that are to be balanced in. So what about this friendship with Israel? Well, as I say, he's commended for it, and yet he's condemned for going too far in it. When you look at the wider Christian community, it is indeed a tragedy that there are so many churches, groups, doctrines, theologies, and that quite sincere people will suffer for their faith and even die at times in history for their faith, whilst other groups of Christians won't accept them, and their members also suffer and die and so forth and suffer great things. There's something very tragic about that. And when you look at those, as we might consider, as everyone might consider, my particular group has got the best theology, has got the truth or whatever, we're hopelessly divided against ourselves. And it is very tragic. And yet, I think that Ahab was playing with this mantra of unity. Come on, let's all get together. Yeah, yeah, let's go and fight in the battle together, etc. And no, this is not the way of wisdom, to put it mildly, when there are fundamental issues there. Ahab was fundamentally wrong and was slain by God because of that. Was Jehoshaphat wise in his son marrying Ahab's daughter? No, I don't think so. Who wants Jezebel in your family? Yeah, Ahab's wife, Jezebel. I mean, this woman hated Yahweh worship. It's very difficult, because when you look at folks who you may be divided from, they are not, it's not quite analogous, is it? There's not a woman called Jezebel necessarily, although of course when you come to the New Testament you do read about that woman Jezebel who was in the church in Thyatira. So there are, I suppose, at times equivalents. But what are we to say? What are we to make of this? I think you've got to be careful of the mantra of unity. Oh yeah, we should all be together. Let's work together. I can only say that in my experience, and maybe I was unlucky, but over the decades, whenever I've heard that, it is tantamount to saying our group is going to have dominance over your group, and you get power politics and all this kind of stuff. We will dominate, we will take over. But it all starts off with, we must all be one. And you've got to be careful if you're involved in any seeking for unity. I mean, do you really want unity, or do you want uniformity with your position? Because the unity of the Spirit is not uniformity. It is not a case of your position being adopted by the other. That is not the same as unity in the biblical sense, in the spiritual sense. So you can go too far with it. That is clear from the relationship between Jehoshaphat and Ahab that inspired God's wrath against him for doing this. But as I say, then you think, well, whatever the situation is, whether it's working with another congregation down the road from you who you're separated from, well, you've got to think, I mean, okay, is this a case of Jehoshaphat working with Ahab and Jezebel? Or is this genuine, you know, trying to get along together with those who also are committed to the same Lord as we are? This whole question of who is really genuinely, legitimately in the body of believers, this has always been purposefully left difficult to define by God in Old Testament times and in our age. And I think it is like that because there's nothing like that question to probe your genuineness of spirit, to probe your real humility, to probe whether you are really in this for you or the ego, as it were, of your group or church or denomination or whatever. These things are difficult, they really are. It's not enough to say, oh, but we've all got to believe the same thing, because you can all believe the same thing on theology, you can all have a shared statement of faith. And yet that is no guarantee of unity whatsoever. People have the same statement of faith in the community that I have been involved in. We have the same statement of faith, but bitterly divided against each other. Same beliefs on paper, but there's always things outside of that. Cultural issues or other issues which are felt to be so critical. And you can be in the same church for years, and all have to be in the same church, be on the same page, and actually you don't have any real unity in practice with people even within your own church. You don't even know them, perhaps. So, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. I think the essence of being a Christian is to have the Spirit of Christ. That is the basis of what Paul calls the unity of the Spirit. We should be of one mind, But he defines that one mind in Philippians, and he says, have this mind in you, which was in Christ Jesus. The unity of mind is not a uniformity of position on intellectual or doctrinal or theological issues, not necessarily. It is having the mind of Christ. And you can have two people from two totally different groups and backgrounds who both have the mind of Christ, the Spirit of Christ, and they instinctively sort of tag with each other. You can have people who have identical theology, but someone hasn't got the mind of Christ. But then who are we to point a finger at someone and say, oh, this one doesn't have the mind of Christ, so I won't be with them. We all reflect the mind of Christ to varying degrees, don't we? In some ways, in some aspects of our lives, sometimes in our lives, we are better at having it than others, let's face it. So these issues are without a direct biblical pattern. It's no good saying, oh, the biblical pattern for unity is such and such a set of teaching or whatever, doctrine, because you haven't got that magic list of what ultimately is so important. You don't have a document preserved listing a set of propositions. You just don't have that, and that is intentional. And as I say, you see here with Jehoshaphat and Ahab that God commends him for being at peace with the kings of Israel, and yet here you see that he goes too far in that, compromises principle. The wrath of God, chapter 19 tells us, was kindled against him, and he only saves his life by grace. This person, Ahab, was a true bad friend. I mean, he really was. And yet, in all that complexity, God judges rightly and fairly, and ultimately at the end he says that Jehoshaphat had a good heart, and his heart was right with him. Even though he got mad angry with Jehoshaphat, that's what he says. And so we take comfort in that probably we will never get this balance right. You will never draw your line in the sand at the right place. You will never include everyone you should do, and you will probably end up including people who you probably shouldn't. That is, I'm afraid, how it is in this dysfunctional state in which we live. Yet all you can do is to look at the complexity of it all, as you see here with Jehoshaphat, God sort of balancing one good point against some bad points and whatever, and do with integrity what you are led to by the Spirit of Christ. The key question is, with all these decisions, as with anything, what would Jesus do?